Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube, Phil's Recap and Review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Tree Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Links, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Duck Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. So, while I was out in Los Angeles, I got to become friends with my sister's fiancé's old chum, Phil. This guy is a world-renowned bassist, and was on the shortlist to join Metallica after Jason Newsted left once upon a time ago. Currently, he is the bassist for Steve Vai, and back when Jay Leno was on The Tonight Show, he would fill in on bass from time to time with Kevin Eubanks. And the dude even has an Emmy Award under his belt for his work on the soundtrack to the Reefer Madness musical film, so yeah, this guy's a bit of a big deal. Now, I bring this up not to brag, but to tell you about how down-to-earth he was. We're just chatting about music, making a couple jokes by the poolside, and even talking about this band camp that Steve Vai is doing for his fans, well, specifically his rich fans, and how he should do it in Japan since Vai is a huge name out there. Like, by the way, I was talking to my friend Sawa, who you might remember from the old Nazo Nazo Nyong'o segments, and she just fangirled out over this whole thing, so I thought that was kind of cool. Nevertheless, it was really cool to hang out with him. We also got to go over to his place and watch the movie Airplane with his friends, and he served like this shiitake-flavored popcorn that was straight out of this world. Never knew that there could be a popcorn flavor that would rival the cheese-curled one, but there we go. Mad tasty. If you haven't tried it, I recommend you do. This is kind of turning into a pointless ramble, so why don't we start this week's podcast and dive right into the playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, Yes Asia, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. Today, we're going to start things off with the kings of comic punk, P-Lander Z, who were featured on a recent episode of The Gong Show and earned a score of 27 out of 30. If I was there, I would have given them all 10s. From P-Pop High School, this one is called Autograph.
We'll be right back. のもの出会ってもそれはどうでもいいこと。野菜ジュースで辻褄合わせ、玉の自炊で騒ぎ立て、ビニール傘は溜まってく使い捨てのスペシャリストだけど、神様今度は本気
意味から、
タコタコタコ必死な時だけ協力要請する女、体にいいことしてますか、心にいいことしてますか、地獄からの手紙飛ぶと
with Tonalino Ona from 2015's Kyome release. Last April saw the release of a new single entitled Magical Fiction, so hopefully that'll mean a new album is just on the horizon. Now, one of my favorite series to return this summer is definitely New Game. The story of Alva and her fellow Eagle Jump game developer friends is a wonderful blend of comedy and game developer know-how. When I had the Fleming brothers on my show last year, you know, our buddies from Wicked Anime, to talk about the first season, they were able to give insight on the realism of what Alba and the rest of the girls were going through, as they've done game development work of their own as freelancers. From their opinions, while there are elements of the development cycle that are slightly rushed through, there is a good dose of reality when it comes to deadlines, bugs, and character design flaws that ring true to reality. Now, I'm bringing up New Game and its second season because in this current arc, Alba's dream of doing character design is realized with the concoction of a game called Pekko. Is that a Pekko or Pico? I can't remember. In this game, you play a girl who has this pair of magic scissors that can defeat any animal enemies, create a suit out of their body, and make it so you can be incognito when around the same kind of animal. It sounds gruesome, but all the non-human characters are like stuffed animals, so it's more cutesy. Okay, maybe it's still a little bit disturbing, but anyways, the more I see this game in action, the more I want it to be real. Usually, I'm not the biggest RPG fan, but this concept of Pekko is both intriguing and unique, and I'm sure I'm not the only person to think this as they're watching this show. It's adorable, it looks fun, and it seems to have a very cool backstory that seems to have taken a lot of thinking power for original manga creator Shotaro Tokuno to come up with. As some people may not know, New Game is actually based off his real-life experiences working in game development. His credits include Valkyrie Profile 2, Slimera, and Star Ocean: The Last Hope. So naturally, one would have to think that Tokuno would gladly have Pekko become a real game if given the opportunity. I know it's wishful thinking, but at any rate, I hope that it somehow does become real. But in the off chance it doesn't, it doesn't. New Game is still an excellent show that I think everybody should be watching, not just for its game development know-how, but because it's a fun and entertaining series. You can catch it on Crunchyroll, Funimation, and VRV, and Season 1 will be released on Blu-ray from Funimation this November. So be sure to grab that if you find yourself loving this show as much as I do. I haven't heard the dub yet, though, but I do love the actresses that are playing the characters, so hopefully it's very good. I should probably watch that on VRV whenever I get a chance. But right now, why don't we dive into a couple more tracks on our playlist? This next punk band can easily fit into the rock comedian term the Goju Kaitans coined over a decade ago. They're called Black Pudding, and on October 6th, they'll be releasing their latest single, which we're going to be spinning right now. This is Sci-Fi Seek.
Mama!
USA, that was Electric Eel Shock with Wah! The band is currently playing a sprinkle of shows in their native Japan in support of their new and as of yet unreleased to the non-concert goers album, Sweet Generation. Hopefully, that public release happens very soon. Okay, before I dive into this next segment, I should let you listeners know that the following is an opinion solely of myself, not of anybody else from the Electric Sisterhood, Boston Bastard Brigade, Phil's Recap and Review, Smash Rook, or Nerd Crave. This is just me venting a little frustration. So while I was driving around Sunset Boulevard, I began to notice a lot of advertisements for a new Netflix series called Atypical. Upon further investigation, I find out that the series centers around an autistic 18-year-old man looking for love and his overprotective mother. Now, as someone who is on the spectrum himself, I often cringe at the way autistic people are portrayed in Hollywood productions, and I'll get into that in just a moment. So I decided that I should give this show a fair chance to see if they portray autism differently from other series and films. I downloaded all of the episodes of Atypical onto my iPad through Netflix and prepped myself to watch it on my flight home from LA. It took the show's first 5 minutes to make me stop watching it, followed by me deleting it right off of my iPad and removing it from my Netflix queue. Why I did this, and this goes back to the cringy stuff, is because once again, the autistic character, who in the show is named Sam, is not really a character at all. He's what I would describe as a bucket of quirks within a human body. Now, I have my quirks, but those quirks are not what define me. My actions, my thoughts, and beliefs are what who make me, me. This character has no, character, to be blunt. He has tendencies of someone in the low to mid-functioning spectrum, which is what every sort of Hollywood production goes for. There's rarely been one that focuses on someone on the highest levels like I am. In fact, the only instance I can really think of is when Jim Jeffries played a character version of himself in Legit, but that really doesn't count because he was diagnosed after the show was canceled. So here's what infuriates me about these sort of Hollywood shows and films, the Atypicals and Parenthoods and Rain Mans and the like. The folks who write these pieces of entertainment craft these autistic characters in a way that make you pity them rather than root for them. You feel sorry for how they view the world and how they interact with their surroundings and the people around them. And it's just straight up bullshit that they do this. What these writers don't understand is that the spectrum is so vast and narrow that one person with autism will be totally different from another person with autism. The snowflake principle, if you will. I have personally never met anyone, never met another person specifically on the autism spectrum that had the same quirks or the same mental capabilities like I do. And honestly, I probably never will. And odds are, if I ever met Jim Jeffries, he'll probably be more functioning than I am, to be blunt. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, now, come on, Evan. You only watched the first 5 minutes. You can't judge a show by that. We saw how you reacted to Yuri Kumarashi after just watching the 3 episodes, and you had to do a rebuttal on that. Well, that may be true. But when your brain reaches a point where watching a portrayal of someone who's supposed to represent you leaves you in literal physical pain, that's when you know that it's a very, very bad show. I like to think of it as how Africans look at old films with white people in blackface or Asians watching Mickey Rooney in yellowface. It's so bad that it makes you sick in the stomach. And I also read episode descriptions for Atypical, and there was one that really made me squint with anger. And it was one that was involving the mother trying to convince Sam's school to have an autism-friendly dance. Do you know what I call an autism-friendly dance? A normal fucking dance! It's this sort of coddling pushbacks that make it nearly impossible for autistic people to be taken truly seriously. I remember reading about there being like autism-friendly performances of various musical productions in the Boston area, and the concept of this just made me roll my eyes so far up into my head that I could see my brain bashing itself against my cranium over how stupid of an idea it is. Now, to be fair, I once had to walk out of Phantom of the Opera for about 15 minutes because my senses were being overstimulated, but that was probably the only time a theatrical show had done this to me. At least, this is what I personally recall. Odds are, if I ever went back to see it, I'd probably be okay. Anyways, I don't want to go off the rails with this piece. I just want to focus on what I'm trying to push out to you listeners, and that is this. The portrayal of people on the autism spectrum in entertainment needs to change. Like now. Stop making them just characterless quirks that make viewers feel bad for them. Give us an autistic character with style, class, attitude. Make them a gentleman. Make them an asshole. Make them a hero. Make them a villain. Make them a badass. Make him someone you'd want to date. Make him someone you'd want to fuck. Make him someone you'd get a restraining order against. Make him someone you'd want to strangle. Make them have something other than a quirk trapped within a bag of meat and bones. If Walkerholics could have a pot-smoking shyster with Down syndrome, then this sort of character would be a goddamn cakewalk to write. And if you need suggestions on how to do that, Hollywood, you've got my fucking email, thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. Hollywood has one other chance with the upcoming remake of the Korean drama The Good Doctor that's airing this fall, but knowing them, they're gonna more than likely screw it up again. If I'm wrong, then I'll gladly report on it and praise it with all my might. But believe me, I ain't holding my breath. Again, opinion of myself and none of anybody else within the land of Esh. Right then, why don't we return to this week's playlist? I think I need a bit of a drink after that. Coming up, we've got the J-pop trio Trisail, who just released their sophomore album, Tailwind. Here's a cut from that, known as Bokura no Symphony. of death metal with anything except the truth from 2008's Heart On album. Recently, the Jesse Hughes Josh Homme concoction released the live album I Love You All the Time, recorded at the Olympia in Paris, the first France show since the Bataclan attack. Earlier, I mentioned my chat with my new bassist friend Phil, and one of the things we talked about was the state of the indie music scene. Now, you listeners know I do all that I can to promote the indie music scene and help them to gain a much larger listenership, but here's the truth of the matter. The indie music scene has almost been wiped away from the pop culture world compared to how it was nearly 10 years ago. Let me explain. Before Facebook took over like the social media world, we had MySpace, and MySpace was a great place for unsigned recording artists to get their name out there and grab some much-deserved attention. Of course, MySpace soon led towards its demise, as it couldn't keep up with the tide that Facebook was turning. As a result, when MySpace went down, so did the platform for many unknown artists to present their works to. Then we had places like Live Volume, Bandcamp, Reverb Nation, and SoundCloud arrived to give bands even more areas to spread their wings, not to mention YouTube and any of the various live streaming sites that let listeners see the bands in action. And pretty soon because of that, the indie scene became overbloated, with artists from all points of the world hoping to have their voices heard. And because of this, the indie bubble, as it were, popped. Since that time, we've had maybe a couple success stories here and there throughout the years. We've had, you know, Vampire Weekend, Frank Turner, Mumford & Sons, Royal Blood, and to my knowledge, that's actually about it. Hell, I can't even name you any new and upcoming indie acts that were able to make it big like these ones in the past year. It's a very sad state of affairs in the music scene, especially with a lot of the talents that I have come across throughout my days here at No Borders, No Race. Acts like Skinny Lister, Divisionist, Palais Royale all stick out for me as some of the best acts to come out in the last 4 or 5 years, and even those bands are having some struggles with grabbing large popularity. And I'm not the only one who's thinking this. In an interview with Noisy, the online magazine, the Killers' Brandon Flowers and Ronnie Vannucci Jr. spoke up about this problem, but blamed it more on music quality than the change in technology. Flowers said, quote, "There hasn't been anybody good enough. If there was a band like The Strokes or Interpol, people would talk. If there were some kids out there right now playing Obstacle One tonight, I would hear about it. You would hear about it. But there isn't." Vannucci added, "People are very quick to blame a changing of the times for a lot of things when it's really that they're not good enough yet." It's a reason I don't 100% agree with, but at the same time, I know where they're coming from. You know, this is why I always tell you, my listeners, at the beginning and end of my shows, that if you like what you hear, please support the artist being played. It could be buying their album or singles, some merch, a ticket to one of their shows, anything at all to tell these talented musicians that their works matter, and that their tiring work to bring something fresh to the music world is not in vain. So if you can, if there's one artist that you hear on this episode that you really loved, please go out and support them however you possibly can. I'm championing a lot of these bands from Japan, the US, England, Italy, and many other parts of the world in the hopes that they reach a wider audience. And I'm sure you would all love very much to see that happen with some of these musicians I'm spinning. So let's do our best to revive the indie music scene and make it one that flourishes for generations to come. The Pillows are currently gearing up for a fall tour in Japan, and with the upcoming second and third seasons of Fooly Cooly, we can hope another US tour will follow soon afterwards. From 2006's My Foot album, this is The Third Eye.
Yeah. 知ってる眩しい世界の扉が開いた。もう一度何かを始められそうなんだ。消えない幻全てを奪った。姿を変えてはまた僕を連れ出しに来るモンスター。
somewhat appropriate tune for the season. That was Beat Crusaders with Summer End off of their Pop Dawd album. Beat Crusaders would disband in 2010, with frontman Toru Hidaka joining Monobrite for a brief stint as their keyboardist. 2017 has been quite the successful year for reboots. Mystery Science Theater 3000 was a hit. Twin Peaks has been a strange return. The Gong Show is far better than it deserves to be. And Magical Circle Guru Guru has been a welcoming nod to classic anime comedies of the 90s. But out of all of these reboots, none of them came close to my heart quite like DuckTales. As a kid, I used to rush home to watch it on the Disney afternoon, loving every moment of the adventures with Scrooge, Huey, Dewey, Louie, and Launchpad. And I guess Webby. I even remember going to see Treasure of the Lost Map in theaters back in the day, one of the first Disney animated films I finally have memories of seeing on the big screen. So, naturally, I had to take a look at the first episode of this DuckTales reboot, which Disney XD thankfully posted onto YouTube. And I have to say that this premiere episode, which is about the same length as two episodes, got everything right about the DuckTales lore. It's got the humor, the attitude, and style of the original series, while at the same time keeping it more modern and reaching back to a classical era of Disney. The episode is an origin tale of sorts about how Donald Duck drops off his nephews off at Uncle Scrooge's as he attempts to get a job. It then leads towards an adventure to the lost city of Atlantis, resulting in Huey, Dewey, Louie, and even Donald finding a new home at Scrooge's Manor. What I love about this DuckTales reboot is that for the first time, the nephews are each given their own identity. Since their creation, back in the Donald Duck cartoons of the 30s, 40s, and 50s, Huey, Dewey, and Louie have always been seen as one entity, never apart from one another, and setting forth on adventures and mischief as a team. Here, we have all three trying to set each other apart, with even Dewey getting into the face of Uncle Scrooge about wanting to stand out from the worst of the Quack Pack. Also, it was a good idea to give Webby more character rather than just be the annoying girl without much to offer. It's hard to compare David Tennant to original Scrooge actor Alan Young, but he does an amazing job as the capitalist adventurer. Getting three different actors to voice the nephews adds to the whole individuality thing the new DuckTales is trying to do, with Danny Pudi, Ben Schwartz, and Bobby Moynihan giving Huey, Dewey, and Louie a level of depth that they've never had before. And I have to say, Kate Miguchi from Garfunkel and Oates, who, if you've never listened to Garfunkel and Oates, they're one of the funniest duos on the planet. Kate just simply kicks ass as Webby. Honestly, the best casting out of all of them. There's also the look of the show, which blends the original cartoon style to that of the Disney comics from the 1940s. It's retro, but it feels rather fresh. The comedy hits all the right marks, with some great nods to both the original show and various others from the original Disney Afternoon lineup. It's clever, fun, and everything a family cartoon should be. The new DuckTales easily fits in with the likes of Star vs. the Forces of Evil and Gravity Falls, while at the same time keeping to its classical roots. So if you haven't yet, I suggest giving at least the first episode a watch. You will not be disappointed. Seriously, new DuckTales is awesome. Truly wonderful. Let's head back to our playlist. Here's a little Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds for all you poor souls. The band just recently released a best-of compilation called Lovely Creatures. This is a cut from their 2003 album, Dr. Rama, which Enemy once described as, quote, what the Velvet Underground would have sounded like if they'd been psychopaths with a heart. This is Bring It On!
This garden that I built for you, they're just sitting now and here. I will never leave it, dear. I could not bear to return and find it all untended, where the trees all bended low. This garden is our home, dear, and I got nowhere else to go. So bring it on.
into the sea. The geraniums on your windowsill, the carnations dear and the daffodil. Well, they're ordinary flowers, but they long for the light of your touch and of your trembling will. Ah, you're trembling still, and I'm trembling too. To be perfectly honest, I don't know quite what else to do.
So bring it on. Bring it on.
Every neglected dream.
Bring it on.
Every
From their 2001 compilation album, Best Super Powerless, that was Pen Pals with I've Been Waiting So Long in My Bed. The band would become well-known in the anime community thanks to their theme song contribution to the 1997 version of Berserk. You know, the better-looking TV one, not the awful CGI one. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at KingBabyDuckESH, on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/omnistryinc. Like us on Facebook.com/Boston Bash Brigade and on Facebook.com/Land of Esh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, and Nerd Crave. Promotional consideration for this week's track from Black Pudding, made by High Violet PR and Plugging. Thanks, guys, for sending them down for us to spin. And just a little heads up, you can catch me and Derek at the Boston Festival of Indie Games on Saturday, September 23rd. We're not technically doing anything there. We're going to be reporting on the games that we're going to check out, both in tabletop and digital. But nevertheless, if you see us, be sure to say hi. It's going to be a very, very fun show. We're going to end things with a new track from Machiko, who once again is contributing a song to the Konosuba franchise, this time for its PS4 game that I hope gets a release over here. This is Million Smile. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.
から「いいじゃない」「夢は夢だからいいとか」
Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.